The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter number 15, Text number 66, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 7th, 2011, in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat yasya va anisidham syat yena yatra yatha nripa sa tena iheta kayani nara na anyai anapadi Yad yashavani siddhaṃ śyāt yena yatra yato nṛpa sa tena heta karyāṇi naro nanyaranāpadi Yad yashavani siddhaṃ śyāt Yena yatra yato nripa
Yena yatra yato nripa
Santane heta karyani
Santane heta karyani
Naro nanyaira napadi
Naro nanyaira napadi
Yat Whatever Yasha Of a man Va Either Anasiddham, not forbidden. Siyat, it is so. Yena, by which means, yatra, in time and place. Yata, from which, nripa, O king, sa, such a person, tena, by such a process, iheta, should perform karyani, prescribed activities, nara, a person, na, not, anyai, by other means, anapadi, in the absence of danger. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In normal conditions, in the absence of danger, O King Yudhishthira, a man should perform his prescribed duties according to his status of life with the things, endeavors, process, and living place that are not forbidden for him, and not by any other means. This instruction is given for men in all statuses of life. Generally, society is divided into brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, brahmacharis, vanaprathas, sannyasis, and grihasthas. Everyone must act according to his position and try to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that will make one's life successful. This was instructed of Naimisharanya, Atak Pumbir Dija Srishta Varnashrama Vibhagasha Svanutashtasya Dharmasha Sangzitir Haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and order of life, is to please the Lord, Hari, Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Everyone should act according to his occupational duties just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then everyone will be happy. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapara Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shivisha Kanvitamscha. So we're being told that we should please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we accept that, but why do we accept? Most people have a different philosophy, that, you know, why please anyone other than yourself? Why you want to give your love and devotion to someone other than yourself? They'll say, you Hare Krishna people, you're foolish. Why are you not just loving yourself? You see? So why do we want to? Why are we doing this anyway? Why do we want to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's a simple science. Just like your belly, when you give food to your belly, it then is distributed to all the bodily parts. If the bodily parts try to get nourishment separately, they will not be successful. There's actually a story in this connection. And one time, the parts of the body, they said, what is this nonsense? We're working so hard to satisfy this belly. It does nothing but sit there and enjoy the fruit of our hard labor. So they formed a labor union. And they went on strike. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a fascist pig. Don't feed the stomach. So in this way they were going on with chanting their slogans with their protest march with great enthusiasm and determination to put the stomach out of business. Well, by the second day of their strike, for some reason they were losing their energy. By the third day, they practically had no energy left at all. They said, I don't know what's going on here, but we're losing all our energy. I think we better call another meeting of the labor union and call off the strike. So they did that, and they started feeding the stomach again, and sure enough, they were okay. So we laugh at the story, but actually, you know, we're in that position, you see. We want to go on strike against the stomach, you see. And why should I serve God? I am God, you see. Why should I serve someone else as the Supreme? I am the Supreme. Everything revolves around me, you see. That is our mentality in this material world. We're thinking, why should I follow regulated principles? I feel like smoking marijuana, you see. Why I should follow regulated principles? I want to enjoy it, you see. Instead of serving God, we're trying to serve ourselves. I want to have illicit sex. It feels good. Why? I just want to instead of serving God, we want to serve ourselves, you see. But all we're doing is we're killing ourselves. Those bodily parts going on strike against the stomach, they were doing nothing but killing themselves. So as soon as we deviate from serving and pleasing Hari and want to serve and please ourselves instead, we're doing nothing but slitting our throats with a razor blade. Nothing but that. So you have to decide, what do you want to do? You want to slit your throat with a razor blade? Or do you want to achieve eternal life full of bliss and knowledge? You have to decide. You see? As soon as we engage in sinful activities, it's just like taking a razor blade and cutting our jugular vein, you see. So you decide what you want. You decide what you want. You see. The fact is, by serving Krishna, you attain immortality. Right now. Prabhupada explained in Los Angeles that deathlessness begins from the very day of initiation, provided you follow the orders of the spiritual master. So as soon as you agree to be completely under the order of the spiritual master, to follow whatever he tells you to do, without question, without hesitation, you see, when you do that, when you come to that position, now you're living in your eternal identity as the servant of Krishna. You're no longer misidentified with this material nature, which is temporary, full of ignorance and misery. You may have a material body, that's all right, but you're wearing a shirt too. You can take your shirt off. You're wearing a material body also. Once you activate that pure devotional mood, this body is just a garment. It's all it is. It's nothing but a garment. You're wearing this body now, a male body, female body. It's just a garment you're wearing. That's all. Just a garment. I can put it on, I can take it off. You see? Garment. Garment's not a big deal. Even if it gets damaged, gets ripped up and you have to throw it away, it's not a big deal. I had a very nice silk kurta gotten and made, custom made in Vrindavan at Ganga Prasad. And I was at a retreat in Australia, and I walked through some doorway and it caught on one thing and went rip, finished. In 1 second, that nice silk kurta was just trash, you see. So was I devastated? No, it's not me. I'm not this kurta, you see. So what? I can get another kurta, no big deal, you see. So what if I lose this body, you see? If this body is finished, what's the big deal? I can get another one. If I'm super qualified, my spiritual body will become fully reactivated. If not, if I'm still hovering in the material energy, because I've sincerely engaged in devotional service, I will get another material body suitable for continuing my pathway back to home, back to Godhead. So either way, there's no lamentation. Either get a material body that's suitable for continuing on the pathway, or I get a spiritual body if I've really done my homework well, I've really chanted nicely, I've really gotten free from the nama-aparads, and really sincerely surrendered myself at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, then I get a spiritual body. Now, in either case, either the fully perfected devotee or the devotee who's still struggling but trying to make it, in either case, there's nothing to lament upon the loss of the body. It simply means rejuvenation, that's all. Get rejuvenated. Instead of an old, diseased body, it can't hear, or can't speak, can't see, can't walk, or so many defects as we get older. You get a brand new body that's full of energy, where everything works, all the senses are strong, everything's working properly, either material or spiritual. So we have nothing to lament in this world if we take shelter of Krishna. Brahma Bhuta Prasanad Manasochati Nakankshati Samaksaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once comes to level of Brahman and becomes absolutely ecstatic. Absolutely ecstatic. He doesn't lament about anything, he doesn't hanker for anything. He's equally disposed towards all living entities. And Krishna says, and in that state, madbhaktim labhate param, in that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. So that's the real state to be in, you see. Not, you know, Texas or Hawaii or this state. This is the real, Brahma-bhuta is the real state. You want to go to a state, the best state for pure devotional service, that state is called Brahma-bhuta. You can be in that state in any state. In any state, you can be in that state. Provided you're sincerely following the orders of your spiritual master, that's all. Sincerely follow the orders of your spiritual master, and now you've just been relocated to the best state to live in for attaining spiritual perfection, Brahma-bhuta state. Equally disposed towards all living entities. That's also confirmed in 5.18 Bhagavad Gita. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gavihastani shuni chayasvapake cha pandisa tamadarshinaha. The humble sages, by virtue of enlightened vision, see everyone equally. A learned gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. Pandita samadarshinaha. They see everyone equally. So this verse is very similar. Instead of saying seeing equally, disposed equally. In other words, you can see someone as equal, but to actually feel equal and treat them in an equal way, that's really powerful. You can say, well, everybody's equal, but then you don't treat them equally, you see. That means it's only a partial realization. But if you see everyone equal and you actually treat them equally, you see, that's a sign, that's one of the symptoms of a Brahmabhuti, someone who is on the Brahmabhuta stage. Treats everyone equally. He doesn't discriminate. You see. He's a well-wisher of all. He simply wants to help. His only desire is to inspire the whole world to become Krishna conscious. That's his only desire in this world. His only desire in this world is to inspire the whole world to become Krishna conscious. That's his only desire. So, therefore, his Krishna consciousness is assured. Prabhupada very nicely describes such a devotee in his Bhagavatam purport. Actually, it's interesting the way Prabhupada describes it. He says, a Krishna conscious being. Now, what is the name of our society? That's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? Now, what does that mean? It means the members are supposed to be Krishna conscious, right? That's right, okay. So now Prabhupada describes what is the definition of someone who's actually Krishna conscious, so we can see if we're really how much members of ISKCON we really are or not. In the true sense of the way Prabhupada describes somebody who's Krishna conscious, he says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he is not capable of doing so, still, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So how much are we thinking of the welfare of all living entities, or are we just thinking about our own eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? You see? We have to be introspective. Each one of us has to become introspective and honestly look at ourselves. How much am I thinking about living for the welfare of all, or just thinking about my own eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his humility, he was saying, actually, I'm just thinking about my own comforts. But then in that song, Kabe Habi Bolo Sedi Mamar, he says, when will I forget my own comforts and set out to preach for the welfare of all living beings? When will that day be mine? You see, he's hankering for that day when he can forget about his own material comforts and simply think of acting for the welfare of all living entities. So Bhaktivinoda has given us a nice way to understand where we're at, you see, by his humility. That actually that is our present position. We're caught up in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending our own comforts, you see. So we have to pray for the mercy that we can give up this sense gratificatory delirium that we're intoxicated by right now. We just have to pray we can come out of this delirious state and actually become genuine well-wishers of the suffering souls of this planet. We have to pray for that we can come to that consciousness. Why? That will give the greatest pleasure to Krishna if we take up that mood of spreading Krishna consciousness. That will give the greatest pleasure to Krishna. The greatest pleasure to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the more you please God, the more you become pleased. the more you neglect God, even though you think He may be pleasing yourself, you're deluding yourself, Prabhu. You're not actually becoming satisfied. The more you can actually sacrifice everything for the pleasure of the Lord, that becomes your perfection, that becomes your happiness, that becomes your transcendental state of realized Krishna consciousness. So now we're struggling in Indriya Seva, serving our material senses. We have to pray for the mercy that we can come out of this Indriya Seva and simply be absorbed in Krishna Seva. Anya bilashyata shunyam gyana karma danavrikam anukuyena krishnanu shilanan bhaktir uttama. In sarvapadi nirmuktam tatparat vena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. One should be free from all material designations of white, black, Indian, American, male, female, etc. One should be free from all bodily identification, sarvapadi, vinirmuktam, tatparat vena nirmalam, completely free of all material contamination of the heart. And rishikesha rishikena sevanam bhaktiruchate. And one should engage all of his senses in the service of rishikesha, the master of the senses. That is called devotional service. So if we take up this mood of trying to achieve this consciousness, sincerely begging for pure devotional service every day. Well, how will we do that? How will we beg for pure devotional service? Prabhupada has given us the wonderful means of begging for pure devotional service. It's right there in our bead bags. Your bead bag is a mechanism for every day you can beg Krishna for pure devotional service, sincerely call to the Lord, begging Him for pure devotion, pleading with Him. Just imagine if you were caught by some terrorist, they wanted to cut off your head, you know, take a movie and send it into CNN, you know, for some terrorist purpose. They were going to cut your head off. How much you would plead for your life, you see? How much you would plead for your life? So how much we are pleading and we chant our job of begging Krishna to save us from this cycle of birth and death by engaging us in pure devotional service? Are we forgetting? Are we thinking, oh, I'm living in heaven? Is it? Here I am in Hawaii, there's some, it's so heavenly. We're forgetting that death is coming at any minute? Is it? Do not forget that death is coming at any minute. At any minute you can be smashed by the cruel laws of nature. So how much have you taken shelter of the Lord, you see? Each one of us has to look very carefully and see. How much have I taken shelter of the Lord? Really, fully taken shelter of Him? Because that's the only thing, our only asset at the time of death will be how much we have truly surrendered ourselves to Krishna. That's the only asset. Doesn't matter what, you know, how much money you have, how many children you have, how many followers you have, how beautiful you may be, or rich you, but it doesn't, anything in this material world has nothing to do, how much knowledge you have. It doesn't matter. All of these things don't help you one iota at the time of death. The only thing that will help you is if you are, how much you have given your heart to Krishna. That's the only thing. How much have you given your heart to Krishna? So each one of us has to honestly look inside. How much have I given my heart to Krishna? Well, I've hardly begun. If we really look, we may find that we've hardly even begun the process. We're just barely starting the process. Neophytes, you see. All right, so I got to humbly admit, I'm just a beginner, a humble neophyte. All right. To honestly admit I'm a neophyte, just beginning, I'm struggling here, trying to overcome my sense desires. If I honestly admit my position, that will be my strength. Take a humble position. And then go through the process given by Rupa Goswami. Adav shraddha tata sadhu sanguta bhajana kriya tato narta navrittishat tato nishtaruchistitaha. In this way, you see, you go through the process. The first thing is you have faith, then you associate with pure devotees, and then you take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master and engage in executing the regulated principles of devotional service under his orders. Then you become free from all the unwanted habits. You become firmly fixed in devotional service. And then, anasaktas tato bhavas, tato preman byudhanshati, sadakanamayang premna, pradurbhave vivetkramaha. And then, taste, you develop taste. The holy name becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey. It becomes more relishable than anything you could ever conceive of enjoying within this material existence, you see. That's the stage known as ruchi. The holy name just becomes inconceivably sweet. Just those two syllables, Krishna, they contain so much nectar, the whole universe could not contain that nectar. It's like the ultimate gulab jamun, you see. Krishna, the supreme gulab jamun. Krishna, you see. That's called the ruchi stage, you see. And then from there, what happens? Then you get so attached. We don't say become detached. We say, no, become attached. We want you to become very, very attached. That's our training program. We don't train you to become detached. We train you to become attached. You see, to Krishna. The Mayavadis just say, detach, 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 detach. Niti, niti, niti. Chop at everything. Niti, 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 niti. No, we say, attach yourself to Krishna. Attach to the holy name. Attach to Vishadam. Attach to Guru. Attach to Vaishnavas. Attach to the deities. Attach to Tulsi. Attach to Vrindavan. Attach to Mayapur. Get more and more and more. Attach to the books of Prabhupada. Get more and more attached. That's our training. We want you to get more and more attached. Because the more you get attached to transcendental things, that is your real detachment. The detachment of the Mayavadis, what does Bhagavatam say? Vimukti maninas. It's artificial. It's imaginary. It's not real detachment. Therefore, patanti adho, they fall down again. They bloop back into the material energy once again from their so-called position of liberation. So we teach you to become attached. Get more and more attached. Because when your attachment becomes perfect, then you achieve the stage called asakti, which is just one notch below the bhava stage, where you actually enter in the spontaneous, you actually realize your eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual sky. Because we can't say so much about these high stages. Now we should learn how to become balanced eaters. Now we should develop the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava. Then we can, after we do that, later on we can think about bhava and prema. Now we have to think about developing the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava. That will become perfect followers of the sadhana bhakti system. We shouldn't try to jump artificially. I'm overeating, but yet I think I've realized that I'm a gopi. You see? Don't be a sahaja. I can't control my tongue, but I think I'm a gopa or a gopi. No. First, control your tongue. First, you become a first-class sadhaka, follower of the sadhana bhakti process. And then in due course, everything will be revealed to you. But you must become perfect in sadhana. Perfect in sadhana. So, we have a few minutes left here. Anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, first you help yourself, then you help others.
First help yourself. And the prophet said a similar thing. He said the most important thing is to save the world, but even more important is to save yourself. So what's the question?
Be in the mood to
yes. So you're wondering, how can I say that when the most important thing is to save ourselves? You're saying that, Sankarshan Prabhu, I think you've deviated from the philosophy because you've... No, I haven't deviated from the philosophy. Because Prabhupada points out that just as Krishna has given the order, Sarvadharman Puritnaja, surrender to me, he said that same order is manifested through the mouth of Lord Chaitanya as Jati Teka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh, Amaragaya Guru Hoya Adesh. So in other words, surrender to Krishna means do what Krishna wants you to do. For Arjuna, it was to get on the battlefield and fight, you see. So as followers of Lord Chaitanya, our service that we do to purify ourselves is to try to save the world. That's our service. It's just a duty. Okay, Prabhu, here's your service, you see. You know, I remember when it reminds me of the old days when I came to the Houston Temple. It was a little bit of a disappointment for me, but I was sent over from our Atlanta Temple to our Houston Temple. And they said, well, you know, they need a vice president over there, so we're sending it to be the vice president. But in the meantime, they'd already found a different vice president. It was a friend, a personal friend of the president. So I didn't tell me that. I just thought I was going over there to be the vice president of the temple. So I came in, and the cook, there was a cook named Krishnamurti Prabhu. He said, Sankarshan Prabhu, come here to the kitchen. I went in. Come here, come to the kitchen. So I walked in the kitchen. He said, here's your spoon. Here's your spices. Here's your ladles. Here's your wax. Hare Krishna, I'm going to Miami. I found myself as the cook, you see, the head cook, instead of the vice president. Well, that's okay, but that was my duty. It was in a very poetic way. He gave me my new service. Gave me a little quick tour of the kitchen. Hari Bol, I'm leaving. So I was given my duty. So that's one duty. Now you're the cook. You see, here's your duty. But as the members of Lord Chaitanya's movement, we have our specific duties, you see, as cook, as a mother raising a child, or, you know, pujari, or whatever it may be, different duties. But we've all been also given a duty that we have to try to make the whole world Krishna conscious. It's another duty. So, just as scrubbing the pots purifies your heart, engaging in the activity of trying to make the world Krishna conscious also purifies your heart. You understand? In other words, that's a service. By doing your service, that's how you get purified. So this service purifies. So in other words, trying to save the world is how we do save ourselves. You understand? So there's no contradiction. Actually, everything we're doing is for the deliverance of this suffering humanity. That is the Sankirtan movement. So any service you do in this movement, you're actually acting for the salvation of all living entities. If you try to do a first flesh job as a vajari, the Tulsi caretaker, whatever, or you know, the toilet bowl cleaner, whatever you do in this for the Sankirtan movement, if you try to do a first class job of doing that, then you're actually acting for the deliverance of the whole world by doing that. You understand? Prabhupada gave the example of Indian Railways. They used to have a poster at Indian Railways. They said, every employee should see that the wheel of the train is turning. Of course, how many employees are actually doing that? It's just the engineer and the engine car is pulling the throttle to roll the train out of the station. But yet there's some clerk in the office who has to sign a paper to authorize, you see, to go out. There's somebody who inspects the tracks to make sure that they're proper, they're safe. You know, there's some. So just as every employee, Prabhupada liked this poster very much. In fact, the term GVC, I was told, also came from Indian Railways. Prabhupada learned a lot from Indian Railways. They used for ISKCON. But just as every employee of Indian Railways is to see that the chain of the wheel is training, it's up to every member of this movement to see that this movement is going forward, you see. That by my activities, I'm helping this movement to go forward. By keeping the altar very beautiful and clean, by decorating the deities nicely, whatever, you know, cooking very nicely, keep cleaning very nicely, you know, earning money and giving nice contributions, whatever it may be. Every member should see that this movement is going forward. In this way, we're all acting together for the salvation of the world. So this is our service that purifies our hearts so that we can become saved. Another way angle on it is the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. You want Krishna? Then give Him. Give Krishna as much as you can. By your words, by your thoughts, by your actions. Always be trying to give Krishna consciousness. You see? Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. You see, in this material world, you may be a wealthy man. The more you give away your money, you come broke. That's material. But in spiritual life, it doesn't work that way. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. That's why do you think I'm traveling all over the world, circling the globe twice a year? Traveling, lecturing, spending hours and hours a day on email, you know, just squeezing his every minute, practically every minute of the day again, and just giving Krishna, because I'm greedy for Krishna. You see, I want more and more Krishna. So therefore I'm trying to give Krishna as much as I can, because the more I give Krishna, the more I get Krishna. So it's not contradictory, you know, saving yourself and saving the world. It's actually all the same thing. You can't separate it. And Prabhupada made a similar point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. This is an amazing purport. He says that a devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord purely, without any offense, becomes Jagad Guru. And under his influence, the whole world takes up Krishna consciousness. So any devotee who is purifying his rounds, is learning how to chant very nicely, it doesn't matter what his position. He can be a farmer out there, you know, picking papayas or whatever, you know, whatever it may be. Anybody who's trying sincerely purify their chanting, they are having a purifying effect on this whole universe. That's the thing. Any devotee, whatever position, you don't have to be a guru or a sannyasi or GBC, no. Any devotee in any position who is sincerely trying to purify their consciousness by chanting quality rounds, by having good relationships with devotees, any devotee who's trying to do that, they are having a powerful, uplifting effect on the consciousness of this entire universe. So this process is exciting. And once you really understand what it is and you get into it, it's the most revolutionary, exciting lifestyle you could ever imagine. It's more exciting than anything you can see in a Hollywood movie. Much more exciting. That's why we're not attracted to go to movies, you see. We're living in a much more exciting movie than anything they show in those stupid cinema houses. I don't know why devotees go to movies. I know it's devotees go to movies. It means that they haven't understood what is Krishna consciousness. They haven't understood what is the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they go to movies. If they really were Krishna conscious, if they really understood Krishna consciousness and Lord Chaitanya's mood and Lord Chaitanya's feelings and Lord Chaitanya's emotions, you see, if they really understood these things, they would be experiencing the most exciting movie happening around them at every minute. They wouldn't even dream of going to some stupid, you know, cinema house. Watch some boring, ridiculous, you know, nonsense. Understand? Any other questions? Yeah.
If I'm in the mood of, you know, just let them figure it out on their own, is that too detached? Is that like the wrong mood to have?
Can you help me understand? I'm a little bit deaf, so I'll try to have her help me.
She says that she is not on the level of giving instructions to guide anybody. So by setting up the example and let them figure themselves.
Well, if you're setting a good example, you're already guiding people by your example.
So her question That by setting the example, let them figure themselves that about the Krishna consciousness.
No, we should tell them about Krishna. I mean, it doesn't take. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a Harvard graduate to tell people about Krishna. I mean, can you tell somebody Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Can you tell someone that? Now you're qualified. Now go out and save the world. You see, all you need is that conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That conviction alone. You can be. That's all you need. If you have that conviction, and you can tell people Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you're a first-class preacher. So go ahead, preach. Whatever you've realized, okay, I haven't realized much. Well, another insider's secret: if you share whatever you have realized with as many people as you possibly can, Krishna is going to give you more realizations. And if you share those realizations, it gives you even more realizations. That's another realization I've had over preaching for so many years. The more I put myself out on a limb to explain the Krishna consciousness philosophy to others, Krishna had to... you put yourself out on a limb for Lord Chaitanya, he'll cover for you. The super soul, or Lord Chaitanya, they're non-different. They'll give you the answer. Just like one devotee, he said, if you just go out on Sankirtan, Krishna will tell you what to say. You see, the super soul will cover for you and help you. So just try to give Krishna to others sincerely in whatever way you can. Even if you're a very tiny, insignificant person who has no great abilities, you're just like a little spider in Ram Lila, you know. I'm not a mighty Hanuman, how can I go out and preach, you see? But that little spider, you see, when Hanuman was throwing the big boulders, the little spider is putting the dust. And Hanuman said, oh, you little spider, get out of the way. Don't you see we're doing some important work here for Lord Ram? Ram said, what are you doing, Hanuman? Why are you chastising him? His service is just as valuable, it's just as important as your service. So whatever little bit you can do, do that. And Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, they will see. Just see this sincere girl. How she's, whatever she can do, she's doing to the best of her ability, you see. So whatever you can do, you do that. And then Krishna will bless you. With more and more realizations, with more and more empowerment. See, if we will take whatever empowerment Krishna has given us to share Him with others, Krishna will give us more and more empowerment. It's called Krishna Shakti. You see, more and more unlimited power He can give. But He wants to see what we will do with it. Sometimes someone gets a little potency for spreading Krishna consciousness, and what do? They say, oh, Krishna has sent so many beautiful girls, now I will enjoy them, you see. Devotees fall down, you see. Or so much money has come, now let me take the money and run, you see. It happens. But if whatever potency Krishna gives us, we strictly engage that in Krishna's service, then He can give us the whole world. He can give us the whole world. So, whatever you have realized, you have shared that. And then Krishna will give you more and more realizations. Your example is very good. Yes, give your example. But telling people about Krishna is also setting the right example. Krishna says that. Machchita madgita prana bodhiyandak parasparam. Always chanting. They're always talking about me. You see, enlivening others. Talking about Krishna. That's part of setting a good example, to talk about Krishna. We're not mona babis who just want to be quiet, you know. Om Tat Sat. No. We always talk, our position is to always talk about Krishna. Machita Madgita Prana Bodhiyandak Parasayam Katayantashtamam Nyajam. Now the other one, Satatang Kirtayantam Mam. Always, 24 hours a day, glorifying Krishna. That is our philosophy given by Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 14. So, any other questions? Did that answer your question? No? All right, good. Any other questions?
Just get a question.
Sure. You mentioned Krishna as the supreme gulab jamun.
Supreme?
Gulab jamun.
Yeah, the holy name is the supreme. Krishna, that two syllables, that is the ultimate gulab jamun. That's right.
How do you develop such a taste? What is
by putting it on your mouth, Prabhu. Put it in your mouth. Wow! Krishna! Just got to put it in your mouth. This is stated by Rupa Goswami. You know that shloka? Tunde tandamani ritang vitinate tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadamani gataya ketunar kunargvadebraspriham Chaita prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadam amita krishneti vanadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I put that Krishna into my mouth, there's so much nectar, there's so much juice in that Krishna. I need to have millions of mouths that taste that juice, you see. And then when those enter my ears, that Krishna vibration, it's so sweet. I need to have millions and billions and trillions of ears. And then when the holy name dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. I'm paralyzed by the potency of the name. Transcendentally paralyzed. Is it? So you just got to stick it in your mouth. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Is it? Krishna,
that's right.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Get your whole big bowl of gulab jamun, you see. 108 gulab jamun, you see. Your japa beads is actually it's a string of gulab jamun. You're just going one gulab jamun after another one, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Ram Ram, yeah. Popping one gulab jamun after another. That's what japa means. Japa means popping gulab jamun. That is japa, you see. And there's so much juice coming out of those gulab jamuns. Enough to fill up the whole Pacific Ocean a million times over, you see. You say, well, I don't have any time to chant. I have to go to the kitchen during the japa period. I'm not getting a chance to relish it. I have to chant japa while I'm driving to the airport. And how can I relish it? Well, we had an experience. I remember I was in Atlanta years ago with them. Oh, Atlanta, you were there too. Ramnath Sukha Prabhu was our cook. This is back in the old days when Atlanta was the heyday of airport book distribution in Atlanta. It was, all the big Maharadis were there doing hundreds and hundreds of books. It was heavy, really an enlivening, heavy atmosphere, very intense, but very super enlivening atmosphere. So the brahmacharis also were going to the airport, they're going in vans. It was, so that you can imagine the cook, he had to cook a huge quantity of prasadam for all these devotees every day, a huge army of brahmacharis and householders going out to preach, and he was cooking for everybody. Plus, he had to cook this for the deities also, the deity suites. So his day began right after Mangal Arti. He'd go right to the kitchen. The whole day he was in the kitchen. So how's he going to do around, you know? How's he going to have good japa? So he was a very intelligent man. He used to get up at 2 o'clock every morning and take his shower, and he'd be in the temple room. But there's nothing to do. Just from 2:30 to 4:30, there was Ramnath Sukha every day. Every day, without fail, 2:30 to 4:30, he was in there chanting his rounds. So then when all the brahmacharis headed down to the prasadam room for breakfast, where did he go? He went to the Brahmacharya. Now the Brahmacharya ashram is one of its rare moments when it's quiet and peaceful. And during prasadam time, and he would take a nap every day during prasadam, you see. So he was getting sufficient sleep. He'd just break it up, you see. Take a nap during the day, and he'd take some, like Prabhupada did it also. Prabhupada broke his sleep up into two pieces. Prabhupada took 2 hours at night, an hour and a half in the day. So Prabhupada broke his sleep up. So Ramanasuka broke his sleep up. He'd take some sleep at night, and then he'd take a nice nap every morning. And that way he had really good japa. And you know, his consciousness was so good. He was in such a good state of consciousness. His prasadam was unbelievably delicious. Unbelievably delicious. Because his consciousness was so first class. In fact, even Prabhupada appreciated his prasadam. Because he was, when all the devotees went to Mayapur, he had to stay back because he's cooking for the deities. You see, somebody has to serve the deities. So that he made some rasagula and sent that to Mayapur with the devotees, and they gave it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada liked that rasagula so much, he said, I want more of these rasagulas from this devotee. So no, there was no internet in those days. The phone connections were so bad, if you tried to call somebody from Mayapur, you had to scream into the phone at the top of your lungs so they could hear you barely on, you know, the other side of the planet. I mean, it was horrible connections. So they sent a telegram. They must have gotten to Krishnanagar. Sent a telegram to Atlanta. Prabhupada wants more gulab jamun. Huh? Yeah. Thank you for the correction. I was thinking of those gulab jamun. Yeah, it was rasagula. And Prabhupada said, actually, Prabhupada said, rasagula is not a sweet, it is a tonic. But he... He said, send me more of those rasagulas. So Ramanatsuka was so enlivened. You see, he made a whole big bunch. We had cow milk, you know, straight from the farm. And it was really, really good. Oh, it was so fantastic. He made a whole bunch of them. You know, sealed them up, put them on the airplane, and air freighted them to, you know, rushed them over to Mayapur. So I could see, you know, because he really put emphasis on chanting good japa. He didn't diminish his service in any way, but he was intelligent to manage his service in such a way, I'm going to chant my rounds from 2:30 to 4:30 every day, chant really first-class rounds, then I can sleep later on. You see, it's easier to chant. Of course, if someone has insomnia, it's another thing. They can't fall asleep very easily. But he found that he could chant. It was easier to sleep during the day and chant rounds during the early morning than it was to do the vice versa.
Insomnia.
Huh?
Insomnia is another good time to chant.
When?
Insomnia is another good time to chant in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, everyone needs to really, if you really want to get the taste of Krishna consciousness, you don't want to drift away, then you need to have really good chanting. Everyone really has to get a really good quality japa, you see. Really, really good quality. Because if your japa is quality japa, you'll be stronger than the Rock of Gibraltar, you know. You'll be really heavy-duty, fixed up. Nishta bhakta. If your japa, if you have a good taste for japa, you'll be very solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. You'll never drift away, ever. If you really get it, that taste for the name, you'll be solidly fixed, you'll never leave. Okay, it looks like our time is running over time a bit. And we thank you all very much for being here at this temple here, to keep this temple going very nicely. This is a very special temple of ISKCON. Prabhupada was very, very fond of this temple. Prabhupada is living here eternally in his quarters. And here in the temple room also, he's residing here. So please serve Prabhupada very nicely here to the best of your ability, and your lives will become perfect. You will certainly go back to home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.